For the topic of this year today, I gave a lot of different topics, different like thoughts of what I wanted to say. I decided to choose one topic that I feel like might help us possibly frame the experience of this year as we continue to go through it. And like to kind of take a step back and understand that the topic I wanted to talk about is wisdom, chokhmah. Just as a preface, the reason why I picked this topic is because Baruch Hashem and MMY, a major aspect that is focused on is learning, and it's a beautiful thing. The acquisition of knowledge and using that, and many of the co-hosts that we see in this room, while we're all quite different, many of us have the koach to use our intellect to further advance ourselves, to improve ourselves, hopefully, and not detract. And so I thought a good topic, very appropriate this time of year, and I'll explain why in a second, would be to discuss chokhmah. Actually, what I wanted to do first, I don't want to start with source number one. That would be like way too boring. So what I wanted to do is I want to just go for 1 second to page number six. I want to first just ground this in like in Yani Dioma a little bit, things that we're going through now, of possibly why the topic of chokhmah would be appropriate. I happen to know what this week's Haftarah is because I teach the class. So this week's Haftarah introduces us to a figure that is very important. This week's Haftarah that you're going to read in this week in Shul is the first parak of Sefer Malachim that talks about David HaMelech getting older. That's the connection to the Parsha. Avram is also getting older. You don't even have to be in my class. I could just tell you what's going on in the Haftarah. And so Avram's getting older and David's getting older, and that's like the connection. And basically in the Haftarah that we read for this week, there's like a whole issue of who's going to become the next king, right? And so if you've learned Malachim Perek Aleph, Adoniah, one of David's other sons, steps in, when in fact it's really supposed to be Shlomo HaMelech who's the king. So it's this Haftarah that starts to introduce us to the figure that if you kind of took the Haftarah and ran with it a little bit and tried to understand. I mean, the following week we're not learning Sefer Malachim and Shlomo, but this week we're kind of introduced to Shlomo HaMelech as a person. And so I thought it was appropriate because in source number 12 we are told, so this source is not the particular Haftarah, it's Perek Aleph, but Perek Gimel, only a few prakim later, when Shlomo HaMelech, based on the beginning of what we're going to read in Shul this Shabbos, Shlomo in fact does become king at the end of the Perek. So when Shlomo does become king in Perek Gimel, something fascinating happens. How Hashem and Shlomo have a very unique relationship. And so please look at source number 12. This is just Pesukim. And so Shlomo loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what David had promised him. They would have a very unique relationship. I think there are sources. Where are the extra sources? On the Shtender? Is that where we left them? Somewhere. Perfect. Okay. And so Shlomo decides, now that he's king, he's going to celebrate that. He's going to bring a korban in Pasuk Dalin. And so he goes to bring a korban where the Mishkan is. And the Mishkan at this time is in a place called Gibbon. Please look at Pasuk K. B'Gibbon nira Hashem el Shlomo b'chalom halayla v'yomer Elokim sha'al ma'atein lecha. The classic question, what is your wish? I'll give it to you. Possibly this is the platform of where all those fantasy stories that we have of the genie and the three wishes, I'll give it to you, come from. Who knows? Hashem says, what do you wish? And I will give it to you. And Shlomo says, you've made me king. It's such a chesed in Pasuk Vav. Okay? And you've watched over me. And in Pasuk Zayin is what I want to focus on. Shlomo is given the opportunity to ask for anything that he wants. And in Pasuk Zayin, he says, Atah Hashem Elokai, Atah Imlachta et Avdecha Tachat David Abi, V'anochi Nar Katon. Shlomo was, how old when he was king? 12. Excellent. Shlomo was 12. That's like not so old. And you could argue a 12-year-old today was not a 12-year-old of then, but it's still young, okay? And Shlomo knows that. So he says, I'm a Nar Katon, Lo Edat Seit Vavo. Like the comings and goings, like this is a big responsibility and I feel like I need a push, like I need a little bit of support to help myself become the next king. But Avdecha Pasuk Chet in source number 12, Avdecha B'toch Amcha Asher Bacharta Amra, it's such a big nation, I don't know if I can handle this. V'natata La'Avdecha Lev Shomea. That's what Shlomo asked for. Shlomo doesn't ask for make me smart. He says, I want to leave Shomea Lishmoa, Lishpot et Amcha, Lahavin being told Lora, Ki mi yucha Lishpot et Amcha Kavid Hazeh. He wants a listening heart. That's what he asks for. Be able to educate the people, to be able to understand between good and bad. It's a very unique question, and Hashem is so impressed with what he asks for. Please look at Pasuk in Aleph. Ya'an asher sha'alta, Hashem says to Shlomo, you could have asked for anything. You could have asked for yamim rabim. You could have asked for kesef. You could have asked for so many things. V'sha'alta yivin shmo'o mishpat. Look at Pasuk in Bet. Hine asiti kidvarach. Hashem says, I will grant this to you. Hine natati lecha lev chacham v'navon. So Shlomo asks for Lev Shomea, and Hashem gives to Shlomo a Lev Chacham Binavon, Asher Kamocha Lo Aya Lefanecha V'Acharecha Lo Yakum Kamocha. And Hashem also says, and you didn't ask me for all these other things, and I'm so impressed we did it, but I'm going to give them to you anyway. Pasuk Yud Gimel, I'm going to give you Osher, I'm going to give you Kavod, I'm going to give you all those things as long as you follow my ways. Beautiful. So Shlomo is given, he asks for a Lev Shomea, whatever that means, to be able to really understand people. And he is given a Lev Chacham V'Navon. And so I just wanted to show you a little bit based on this, based on being introduced to Shlomo. Look at source number 13. The Pasuk right after this section in source number 12, it says that Shlomo woke up. This is all in a dream, okay? So I don't know if I clarified that, okay? Because it says in Pasuk Hey in source number 12, V'givon nir'ah Hashem al Shlomo v'chalom. All of this conversation, this back and forth, this go-between between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hashem and Shlomo was in a dream, meaning it was a form of nevuah, as the Rambam talks about. It was not a direct conversation between, right? Moshe was the only one who spoke directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All other Nevi'im are through a medium of them not being fully conscious, whether they're in a trance or whether they're sleeping. This was Shlomo receiving nevuah, and he receives the nevuah of a Lev Chacham V'Navon. Source number 13. Right after this, Shlomo wakes up from his dream, and it says, "Vayikat Shlomo v'hinei halom." Okay, Shlomo wakes up and he realizes everything he just experienced was a dream. But Rashi says he realizes it was a dream. "V'hinei hevin shechalomo emet." He realizes that his dream is actually true. "Ki shomea of mitzafzef umevin l'shono." The Kelev Noveach Umevin Lashono. He understood the birds chirping and what they were saying to each other, and he understood the dogs barking and what they were saying to one another. And all of a sudden, it was just like this profound experience of waking up and realizing, wait, this didn't really happen, but wait, it did, because my whole perception of the world around me is entirely different. Mm-hmm. Just two sources about the uniqueness of Shlomo's Chachma before I then go into what we can take from that in terms of an approach to Chachma that I think is important. I'm kind of just grounding this in a certain level of what we can learn from it. The Abarbanel. The Abarbanel says here, please look at the big letters on the bottom of source number 14 or at the bottom of page number 6. On Shlomo's wisdom, the Abarbanel says the following. Lefisha kol hachachamim shayu lefanav ulacharav nitchakmu b'derech harishon meha'iyun v'chakira. Okay, meha'chasronot meha'chamisha asher yikru b'hasaga ha'enoshi. Basically, most people acquire knowledge based on one method. You have five senses, and you use those five senses to learn around you. Your sight, your smell, your touch, all of those things. And then you use those senses that you have to learn about the world around you. So you read, and you experience, and you go, and you look, and right, and you taste things, and you smell things. And that's how you acquire knowledge. That's how most people, virtually all of us in this world, can acquire knowledge and chachma. However, Shlomo was unique. Continue on. Okay, look at the last line. I'm Shlomo. What Shlomo was granted in his dream and his becoming king that begins with our Haftarah and beyond is a supernatural chachma. It's something that was beyond just being able to use your senses to further your wisdom. It was something divine that was granted to him. Okay? Please turn to the next source. Just we'll go to the Ma'avim a little bit, just understand that, and then we'll move away from Shlomo a bit. The Ma'avim says in source number 15, Vayitain Elohim, that when Hashem gave Shlomo Chachma on page number 7, what was Shlomo given? The Malbim explains over here that it says he was given Lev Chacham V'Navon. Okay? And so the Malbim explains, if you look on the third line, okay, that Chachma and Tfuna, what is the difference between Chacham and Navon? So Chachma is Chachma HaMidot. okay? Like understanding the ways of people. An innate understanding of what's good and bad. By the way, that's why I'm sure even if you never learned the story of Shlomo, you all know that there's, like, most of you, don't feel bad if you don't know this, but there's a famous story of Shlomo and the two women, right? And they bring the baby, and that whole back and forth. That speaks to this idea of Shlomo's, like, intuitive understanding that he's given of the nature of people and how people act. That speaks this idea. Like, he's not just given, like, he is so smart. Like, he's such, when we talk about Shlomo being smart, it's not just like he has a photographic memory and he knows everything. He understands people. He understands the world. He's able to apply things to real life. And so the Malbim explains that's Chachma. And then Tfuna, the Malbim explains, ends at the third line. Uvetfuna kula ha-chachma ha-iyunit, shenofel la ha-shem emet v'sheker. Basically, it's a deep, we all know this, like Tfuna, Bina is like a deeper understanding, ability to take things and understand them. So whereas Chachma is like what's good, what's bad, the way people act in their intuitions of good and bad, Bina is more of like an in-depth understanding of like what's MS, what's Sheker, and so on and so forth. Okay? All right, so now that we've grounded this in Shlomo, and we understand that Shlomo had this supernatural chachma, and it's something that you all know that he's going to impart with us. He writes Sefer Mishlei, and Shir HaShirim, and Kohelet, and this is something that is very broad and very big. I thought that I would maybe take a step back based on that and talk about chachma in general from a different perspective. Please turn to the first source. Okay. A major source that we have for this idea of chachma is in Pirkei Avos. Before I begin with the source of Pirkei Avos, which is going to be a major baseline for us just trying to understand the depth of Chachma a little bit, and my goal today is for you guys to take these ideas and kind of apply it to the process that you're going through this year in Israel of acquiring lots of information, where to take that, how to use it as a stepping stool for growth. So the first source I just want to say before we go into Pirkei Avos is the Bartanura, right? That's a famous commentary on the Mishnah. So Pirkei Avos is a Mishnah, okay? It's one of the Maseftos of the Mishnah. That's what Pirkei Avos is. And the Bartanura explains on the very first, we're going to go to Perek Dalid as our starting point. We're going to deal with one Mishnah today in Perek Dalid, but I just want to say this because it's a beautiful source. I'd be remiss if I didn't say it. Please look at source number one. When we're talking about Pirkei Avos, and we're talking about a Mishnah that you all know, even if you haven't learned Pirkei Avos inside, it's all about the ways to be, the ways to act, how to act as a person, okay? So where Bartanura says, please look in the first source, and he says the following at the end of the first line. Shemesechet zo einam yusedet al perush mitzvah mi mitzvah haTorah kishar mesechtos mishnah. All a different mesechtos in our Mishnayos, right? They all deal with mostly technical mitzvos that we're supposed to do. Mitzvos of Shabbos and Yom Tov and even more abstract things, right? It's much more technical and practical. When it comes to Masechet Avos, it's very different because it's all about ways to act. Like Tov and Ra, what to do and what not to do. Ela kula mosrim musarim umidot. It's all about literally the way to be as a person. End of the second line. Bechachme umot haolam, other nations of the world. Gam kein chibru svarim kemoshe. Right? Just like just what was in their hand, what was from their heart. They also said, like, this is a way that a person should act. This is a way to be an ethical and more moral person. Second to last line. Lefichach hitchil hatana b'masechet zo. Therefore, since this masechta is so unique and it's talking about how people should interact with one another, it's so interesting that how do we start Pirkei Avos? Moshe kibel Torah mi Sinai umasar liYoshua v'Yoshua lezakenim, etc., etc. It is so interesting that of all the masechtos that talk about different ways that we're supposed to act following the 613 mitzvos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything that stems from that, when it comes to mitzvos of how to be as a person, how to have a moral, ethical compass, it's that masechta that we start out talking about the Mesorah. It has nothing to do with actions. Moshe passing down Mesorah from Yoshua and then to the Zakenim and so on and so forth has nothing to do with how to act as a person. But it's so interesting that when it comes to this masechta, we start off that way. Why? End of the second to last line. Lomar lecha, shehamidot vehamosrim shebezo hamasechta Lo badu otam hachachmei ha-mishnah. They didn't invent them from nothing. Ela af elu nemru b'sinai. Since this mesechta is so different than other mesechtos, then we have to emphasize the fact that this is also Masorah. This also comes from a very specific place. This is also something that is part of our tradition, of something that we have to follow. Okay, beautiful. So now let's go into our source about Chachma. This is a phrase that I think you have all heard before. Source number 2, Ben Zoma Omer, in the 4th parak of Maseches Avos, Ezehu Chacham Halomed Mikol Adam. Who is wise? Someone who learns from everyone. And so that's interesting, meaning on a face value, just to kind of like approach that idea. Not really. There are many people that I shouldn't necessarily learn from. There are many things I particularly picked a certain venue to place myself in this year, right here, right now, because there are certain things that I want to be influenced by. What does this statement mean? And so I want to kind of use this. I think that of all the phrases we have in lots of Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, I think this is a very informative phrase, and I want to kind of use this as a springboard in terms of learning about Chachma as a baseline for yourselves. Okay, source number 3. Let's just look at Rabbeinu Yonah for 1 second before I teach you about a very interesting concept that shows how psychologically in tune Chazal were. Rabbeinu Yonah says in source number 3, please look at the 3rd line. Acha ohevota, okay? Meaning, Ezehu Chacham Halomi Mikol Adam is our phrase. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, okay, someone, let's start from the first line just to show you. Imru chachmei ha'umo, ki ha'yodeya kol ha'chachamot. Someone who knows everything. They know all the languages. They're so well-versed, right? They're like a Renaissance person. They know everything. Im eino ohev chachma, eino chacham. Ela tipesh. Only someone who desires chachma is someone who will attain it, no matter how smart they are. You have to want chachma, okay? Even if a person knows nothing, if they really want it, they will become smart. Now, I could just stop this year here and tell you firsthand that I have seen this. I have people that I'm close to in life that they grew up being the kids that have learning issues in school. They could not learn anything. They literally almost failed out of school. And then at a certain point in their life, they were totally turned on to Torah mitzvos, and they really were so inspired, and they wanted to learn. Like, they really wanted to. And no question about it, it's not like all of a sudden everything just came easy to them. They worked really hard. But they, more than anyone else, like, and it's more than one person that I know, these people know so much, and they're so knowledgeable. And you would never believe that these people didn't do well in school. Because Rabbeinu Yonah is saying it's not about technical, like, skills of what you were given as a gift. It's about what you do with that. It's about how much you want it. How much do you want this? How much do you want to use the Torah that you're learning to improve and live your life and improve yourself as an Eved Hashem, improve yourself as a person? If you really want it, and it's a process, it takes time to instill that want, those standards, that level within yourself, but if you really, really want it, that is enough of a drive. That will motivate you to actually put in the effort, but it'll also propel you forward to see the successes that you want to see. And that's a huge principle in general. So he says that, and then he says a beautiful mashal. Mashal la'adam shehifsid kli katan. A mashal for someone who has lost a small vessel. V'halo mikol adam mevakesh oto. It's his own vessel. It's just say, it doesn't necessarily mean anything to you, but it means something to him. He would literally, even if it's like the shyest person, they would go out of their way, they would go through the garbage bins, they would go through everything just to find it. And so someone who says, this is mine, I really want it, right? They would ask every single person for it. So the Rabbeinu Yonah's approach is like, halomim mikol adam, right? Learning from everyone is that someone who so passionately wants chachma will see that through, and they won't hinder themselves by saying, no, I'm embarrassed, I don't know. It's theirs, they want it, and they'll do anything they can to get it, okay? That's Rabbeinu Yonah's approach. He quotes this idea of itzah elokim timtza, and that's a pasuk in Mishle, which is written by none other than our Shlomo HaMelech, who we just prefaced, was given this element of Chachma. He speaks about wisdom in Mishle, okay? Source number 4, he says, when it comes to Chachma, look at pasuk Dalid in source number 4. Im tibakshena kakesef uchamat monim tachpesena, tachpesena. Okay, that you have to search for chachma. It's in the context of chachma. You have to search for it. You have to pine for it, like you are for gold, like a person would for gold or for silver. They so want it. They desire it. As tavin yirat Hashem v'dat Elokim timsa. You have to passionately desire chachma in order to attain the ultimate chachma, which is dat Elokim, which is something that we will be speaking about. I want to introduce you to a concept that I think shows, turning to the next page. I don't know if you've all heard of this concept. I'm going to say it. I'm going to assume that some of you have heard it before, but it's quite a modern, trendy concept. And I kind of want to show you that it's not really such a new concept. It's something that Chazal and the Torah have been very attuned to for quite some time now. The concept of mindfulness. How many of you have heard of that concept? Okay, very good. I'm sure you were introduced to it at some point or another by some teachers in high school or even here. And mindfulness, for those of you who didn't raise your hands, just so you don't feel left out, is that mindfulness is literally what it sounds like. It's about being present in the moment, okay? There are actual movements in, you know, the psychological world about people practicing, like they have mindful retreats, you know, mindful eating, mindful sleeping, mindful spending your day. Like, literally, people will just, like, sit at a table, just themselves, and not do anything else. You're not looking at your phone, you're not looking at an article, you're not talking to your friend, and you're just focusing on being mindful of your hands grasping the fork and putting your fork into the food and the texture of the food and how it feels in your mouth and how it feels to chew and how it feels to swallow it. Like, just these practices of people in, like, mundane small things to train yourself, like, on a bigger, more, like, on a grander level of how to be more present in life. And I think now more than ever, I'm not about to bash technology. I think there are a lot of advantages of technology. But I think a lot of us have checked out. We're not connected. I think we can all agree on that. And so mindfulness is a big movement because people are having a hard time, like, really appreciating what they're experiencing. So mindfulness is a big thing. People are talking about it. People like it. And the Ali Shor actually speaks about it. Now, the Ali Shor did not live so long ago, but he quotes people before him, and I'm going to show you a certain idea that I think is really important that bases itself on this principle of chachma and learning from everyone in Pirkei Avos, of what it means to be that kind of person. Please look at source number 5. The Ali Shor, Avaldi, he says over here on the end of the first line, don't worry, we're not reading this whole thing from start to finish, I will show you certain brackets, but it's a beautiful concept. Derech ha-hitlamdu, hislamdus, okay, that's what he calls it, okay, literally what that is, okay, it's reflexive, it's a person that is able to learn inward, okay, and what hislamdus is, he says, ubayicholim lamod afilu mesechet shalich ora eina nogat lamasam, on the second line, a person can learn anything, even the most obscure parts of Torah that seem so irrelevant to you. Like, you know, the Masechtos that talk about, like, a chicken falling from a roof and you don't know what to do with it. And technical, is it this? How much is the fine? And what to do? And getting into the nitty-gritty. Or even so many other aspects, like aspects of Tanakh that just seem not so irrelevant. Or aspects of Halacha that I don't really know how this applies. They can literally learn anything. Okay, and he will learn, and he will learn from that for himself. He or she will learn a tremendous lesson from that, from anything. Okay, let's continue on. It's a new way to live your life. Not just in the way you learn actual Torah, when you're sitting in these four walls of the Beis Medrash learning something, and you take a step back and you look at your chavrus and you're like, what does this have to do with anything? Like, I don't even know. And a person who has Islam just is trying to figure out how this would possibly play into the greater picture of your Avodah Hashem, an aspect of it to learn. He's saying this applies to even beyond the four walls of the Beis Medrash, being able to learn from everything around you. And he gives a mashal. Please look at the fourth paragraph on page number 2. Chachma u'musar, okay, those Rashi Tevos there are l'Rav Simcha Zissel Mikelm. Simcha Zissel Mikelm was a big Baal Musar, okay? He gives the following mashal, the Ali Shor quotes, and he says the following. Kol adam sheyesh lo chush be'ezet davar yargish me'od k'sheyir'e davar ma mizeh ha'inyan. a person who has a certain sensitivity to a particular thing, when he sees that thing, he'll take notice of it, okay? So if you have a particular hobby or something that you've been learning about, or maybe you have a family member who's in a particular profession, so it's something that they notice, okay? And he gives an example. They notice things more in that particular area. For example, second line of that paragraph, chayat, okay? A chayat is a tailor, okay? A chayat shero'eh adam, a chayat, when he looks at a person, what is he focusing on? Yabit techav abigadav. He focuses on the clothing that a person's wearing. Is it good clothing? Is it properly sewed? Is it falling apart? Sanlar, a shoemaker, almina alav shalploni. Okay? Tofer kovaim, a hat, a person who sews hats. Al kovao shalploni. Vechein socher b'mischaro yargish me'o b'dibor b'maseh. Shiatzalo imena to'elet l'mischaro. Ma she'ein kein ishacher lo yishma b'lo yiren. Other people don't even pay attention to these things. You're uninvested in those things. You don't have training in those things. Your eye is not trained for those things, so you just don't care, right? So you all can think, like, you know, you're looking at someone and they're, you know, a skin doctor. So, like, you're probably self-conscious when you're looking at them because they're, like, staring at every pimple on your face, you know? Like, it's certain things that people are sensitive to, okay? And I think that we could all appreciate that, mashallah, as being factually correct, okay? V'lachin ba'avozat Hashem yibarach. So too, this mashal can be applied in the way that we grow in our avodas Hashem. Mi sheyesh lo yiren Elokim lamashal, lishmor et hadvarim hapshutim hamivarim b'shulchan aruch. You say to yourself, I want to grow in my scrupulence of halacha. I want to make sure that I'm following the shulchan aruch to the T. And you're working hard at it. You're making an effort. You're literally learning all the halachos inside out. You're trying to apply them. You'll pay attention when another person does something a certain way. You know, they wash their hands a certain way. You notice that they got it to the point that they were and they said the bracha first, they didn't talk. Oh my gosh, I was just learning those halachos. Like, I totally pay attention to that because that's something that I'm in. I'm invested. I'm paying attention to it. And so he says here, but a person who is being scrupulous about the technical halachos in the Shulchan Aruch might not necessarily be sensitive, says Rav Simcha Zissel. He might not be so sensitive to the way that a person's acting towards another person, like midos, let's say. Because it's not really so... that's not really laid out in the Shulchan Aruch in a, like, step-by-step format. Maybe in Pirkei Avos, but that's not what he's learning. He's focused on halacha, so he's paying attention to that. His mind is attuned to that, okay? Gmilos chasadim, someone who is a person of chesed, right? That is what they're striving. And you don't have to always be one person, but that's, like, their thing. So they'll notice a certain kindness that someone does for others. If you don't train yourself, this is what Rav Simcha Zissel is saying, is that we can sensitize ourselves to pay attention to the things that we care about. And you can do that by taking steps to say, this is what I care about. And so I will work hard at those things and I'll learn those things. And in doing so, I will be sensitive to other people around me and the things that they do and how I can learn from them on what they're doing or what they're not doing. Im kein halomein mikol adam harehu socher gadol mischaro bechol mashala al kein yavin lifamein mizulato. Someone who sensitizes themselves to learn from everyone and acts in that way will be able to pick that up. Look on the second to last paragraph. Okay, so the Revolvi says based on this Rav Simcha Zissel Mikelman, his mashal of, like, people pay attention to things that they're professional. Look at the third line of the third of this paragraph. Aval halomei mikol adam mitlamei mizulato kol ma shenitan lomod. Okay? A person can sensitize themselves to learn everything from everyone. Gam dvarim shehayu ad kol michutz l'tchum ha'heit anyenu. Even things that you were totally not interested in, if you make yourself available to learn from other people, shehu mafchin eitzel chaviro v'lameid mehem. And by the way, he applies this in the last paragraph to even things that you would think you should never learn from, and he gives you examples from the Torah. Od zot anu mosifim baza, last paragraph, Rabbi Omer, okay, maybe you've seen this Rashi before. Lama nismacha parshat nazir leparshat sota. Why are nazir and sota connected to one another? And the famous answer is because, lomar l'cha, second line, shekol haroa sota b'kilkula. anyone sees the troubling experience, right? The really, it's a very hard thing to watch. A sota and everything that she goes through, and then the entire experience. Yazir atzmo min hayayin. That person will learn from that to like withhold himself from wine. It's such an interesting answer. But I think if you see it in the context of Islam, this it's a very interesting thing. Third line, Hamit lamed yodeya. Someone who is mindful, pays attention to the fact, ki kol avera shehu ro'eh eitzel zulato, that even the bad things that other people do, gam hu atzmo lahu alul hikashel. Okay, I don't look at someone, okay, maybe there's like crazy things like murder or something, you're just like, nah, not me. I don't see myself getting there. But a person who is so sensitive to learn from other people looks at someone who's making an avera and sees himself as someone who says, if I allow myself to get to that place, eventually I could make that mistake as well. I could. And so I have something to learn in this place. Basher hu bal yitzer har kamoto, I too have the yitzer hara. It's such an extreme case of a sota, like it's a very particular situation. He doesn't like just like recoil and say, oh, this is just terrible when he sees a sota. Instead, he takes that and uses it as a growing experience for himself. Okay, ha'agum. How could he get to this terrible place? And then he says, you see from this, so too from over avera, from people who are making big, grave mistakes, you too can learn. Okay? So the Ali Shor brings this very intense concept. I just wanted to bring you some very interesting ideas on the next page. A shtickel, like, Hasidic stuff, which is not so in my wheelhouse, but I will bring it to you anyway because I heard it said and I think it's beautiful. So the following. First of all, the Pele Yoetz, if you've ever heard of him, Rav Eliezer Papau. So if you ever heard these songs, it's like not a pasuk. This is like actually where it comes from. This idea, Havar Ayin, Hasira Dayin, Daga Min Ayin. Okay, the idea of being mindfulness is we say, Havar Ayin, the past already happens. Hasira Dayin, okay, the future, you know, Havar Ayin, the past is nothing. The past is done. Hasira Dayin, the future already happened. So why be worried? Meaning, live in the now. Meaning, in mindfulness, your ability to appreciate what you're experiencing now is a very important feature of what the Ali Shor, when he talks about being mindful on his lamdas, of just like the experience I'm in now. So Rav Volbi very much focused in on when you see other things, or even he also said it's a realm of life, but he talks about learning things in Torah and that being an example. Over here in source, I'm going to skip 7 and 8 for now. Let's go to source number 9. The Ramchal in Derech Hashem, and this is something that's important to pay attention to. In Derech Hashem, he talks about in the small print that I'm not really going to go into so much, but he says that every situation that we are put in life is a challenge, meaning will we choose good or bad? The Ramchal's Derech Hashem is quite deep, but if you look at about the 7th line, he says, every person is put in a matzav shona, a different situation. Shekulam yiyu nisayon lahem. That particular situation that you're put in is a nisayon for you in particular. V'mashi itnu makom lechol pratei b'chino hara ha'ele, where you are chose, you have this idea on this test, are you going to choose good or choose bad? Litzchazei kenegdam v'litzfos b'tovot. Are you going to kind of like push away the bad, or are you going to choose good? So look at the big print for 1 second. He says here, nimtza lechol ish v'ish mibnei adam chilek miyuchad v'nisayon u'v'melchemet hayitzer. Every single person, this also speaks to like Rav Dessler's Nekudas HaBechira, everyone being put in a very specific situation that they're in. But the idea that every single person is put in a, has a chilek miyuchad, v'nisayon mechamer hayetzer, that they have their own station in life, their own place, okay? Their own pegudato masa'o b'olam hazeh. Tzarich la'amod bo kefi mashehu, and the awareness that that is your thing, it's not anyone else's, and that you have to deal with it as it is. V'yodonu ma'asah b'midat dino, yitbarach kefi ha'masah asher nitan lo be'emet v'chol b'chinotav. He is judged from that vantage point. So mindfulness also, by the way, is about being mindful of who you are as a person and where you're headed. Not just about sensitizing yourself to learn from others, okay? And being aware that the present moment is, I'm not to say, like, meaning source number 6 is like, you know, forget about everything else. The past is nothing. The future is nothing. Just be here. And that element is an important one because at certain times the stress can overtake you. The anticipation of what will be can overtake you. And so feeling like here I am in this place, I have to deal with what I have is important. But then by virtue of that, what the Derech Hashem is saying in source number 9 is part of mindfulness is getting to know yourself. This year is great for that. Like spending time with yourself and understanding what are my challenges, what is my particular station in life, and how my set of challenges is something, basically I have strengths and weaknesses, and even my strengths that I have can be my very challenge. Like, I'll give you an example, a person who's like very, very funny. So that's like an amazing thing, and that can be a tremendous kindness you do for others, and an advantage that you have over other people. Humor is a beautiful thing. But humor in and of itself can have a lot of challenges, right? Making light of situations that sometimes not the best time, you know, or anything like that. It's just not always an easy thing. There are many strengths that each of you could probably think to yourself, this is who I am as a person, this is my strength, but it's also my greatest challenge. And I think being mindful also is about really taking a deep look into yourself, using that. That's like the ultimate wisdom of just like who I am as a person and where do I go with that. One last Hasidish idea before I go into rounding this off. Source number 10. This I heard in the name of Moshe Weinberger. He quoted this. This is a Chabad source. Like, I don't even know where I would have found this on my own. But he quoted this in source number 10. And he says the following, that, and this is the actual source where he was saying that this Rav Mendel Portipas, I don't know exactly what the name is, but he basically was sitting with someone once, and they were lakaf mashke, they were drinking together, and bishlam misuyam hu sha'al et zeh sheyashav mulo, he looked at the person next to him, and he said to him, mahu hamakom hakadosh biyoter, what is the holiest place in the world? And the person next to him said, beis hamikdash, kodesh hakadoshim, right, that's the first paragraph, he answers. Amar lo Rav Mendel, Rav Mendel said, Hamakom achi kadosh bishvilcha, barega zeh hu hamakom sha'ata karega dorech alav. The holiest place in the world for you right now is where you are right now. That is the holiest place in the world. And as cliche and whatever that sounds like, it is so true. There's so many opportunities at any given moment for you to do the things you have to do if you just take a good look at yourself and you become aware of yourself. Who am I? What are my challenges? What are my weaknesses? And you can have a vision. Shouldn't be a perfect vision. It could be a rough vision of what's my direction in life. Where would I like to be in 20 years from now, 50 years from now? That's all good. That will kind of guide you a little bit. But at the end of the day, you have to deal with the here and now. Kshani omer makom, when I say a place, he says, third line, hakavanai nenu rak lemuvan hatsar shalmana. It's not the narrow, literal sense of the word place, like fizzy, like this is the place you're in now. That's physical. This is the holiest place in the world right now, where I am standing on this tile. No, hakavanahi gam lemakom bemuvan harachab. The broad sense of the word place, hamatzav shebo atanimtza, your situation in life. That's what it's saying. Hamatzav shalanu. Hatchunot v'hamidot shalanu, hanisyonot shalanu, heim heim ha'avodah shalanu, hashlichut shalanu. And that's important because sometimes you can get overwhelmed. Like, wow, there's just so much to learn. There's so much to do. I don't even know how, like, and why try? Like, it's just so many people before me. There's so many people who know everything. Like, what do I have to do with all this? But it's such a, being mindful and being aware of where you are has so much potential is also very significant. So with that, I want to cut back to Shlomo HaMelech, but with it from a certain light. Now we see that Shlomo HaMelech had this like divine chachma, and we tried to gain some insight based on this concept of a person who is wise, a person who learns from everything around them, and how that impacts themselves, and where they are, who they are as a person, and how they can develop themselves. I want to show you that Nesilas Yesharim in source number 11, while we get back to Shlomo HaMelech, has a very, very strong warning against intellectualism, okay? Being someone who is in the pursuit of smartness, I don't know if that's a word. Okay, so that's number 11. Okay, wisdom. Ve'al hakol yitbonein tamid lahakir choleshet hasteichal enoshi. It is so important, and this should guide you throughout your year in MMY and beyond as you continue to learn things about the world around you. When it comes to the human experience and gaining knowledge, the Ramchal tells us it is important for people to understand the pitfalls of human intellect. okay? V'rov ta'uta v'chazvav, okay? That people, your intellect can deceive you. It can cause you to be mistaken. Some of the smartest people in the world have made the greatest mistakes in the world. And the Ramchal says at the end of the first line, Shoyoter karov lo tamid hata'ut me'ayidiya ha'amitim. He says the proper attitude about gaining knowledge in this world is that a person should always err on the side of caution and always think that he or she is closer to Yoter karov tamid lata'ut. He's closer to not understanding than me'ayidiya ha'amitim, the ultimate true understanding of something. As humans, we have to understand that we're limited. And so the proper attitude needs to be, I don't ever fully know something. I have to understand my faults, my limits. I could misunderstand something. Al-Kain, you're at Tamid, me'asakana hazot. You have to always be aware that as you continue to learn things, your own intellect can fail you. And not that you shouldn't learn more, but you should be so cautious and so careful in what you are learning. Adam, and therefore it'll also force you to constantly seek out truth from others. Halomei mikol Adam, because you'll realize you can't just rely on yourself to find the ultimate truth. You have to rely on other people. You have to be in touch with other people. You have to have mentors and people that you talk to and people that you like use as a springboard of things. Okay, and you have to keep your intellect in check by always learning from others. So now let's come back to Shlomo HaMelech. Please turn to the last page. In learning about Chachma and understanding, I'm now going to skip through the whole story of Shlomo HaMelech and tell you that about the 12th Perek of Sefer Malachim, maybe it's 11th, Perek Yud Aleph of Sefer Malachim, is where Shlomo has already built the Beis HaMikdash and he has this tremendous Chachma. And Shlomo makes the mistakes that he does. You can look at the Pesukim there in Sefer Malachim, but he makes grave mistakes. And based on that, knowing who Shlomo was as a person and knowing kind of like the intellectual levels that he attains, this Gemara is astounding. And I think it teaches us a lot about how to take this idea of how to gain Chachma, but also how to keep ourselves in check as we move forward in different stages in our lives. Source number 16, please look there. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us the following. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mipni ma lo nitzgalu tamei Torah. When I first saw this source, I was like, oh my God, if you've seen this Gemara before, it is an unbelievable Gemara. Okay? So he says the following. Why is it that the Torah, meaning the Psukim themselves, we talk about Tamei Mitzvot, maybe something that you've learned in some of your class in MMY or even in high school, how there are different approaches to Tamei Mitzvot and the reasons for Mitzvot, but whatever it is that you say on whatever side, if you go by the Rambam, you go by Sefer HaChinuch, whatever it is that you say, within the psukim themselves, very often, there's usually not a prescription of do this mitzvah because this is good for you for this reason. It doesn't say it in the Torah like that. It's usually, you know, Torah Shabbat Peh or Chazal, you know, Rishonim come in and they explain the reasoning for certain mitzvahs. And certain mitzvahs are, we have chukim and mishpatim, certain ones make sense, like respecting your parents. That's like probably a good thing to do from an ethical perspective. And some make less sense, fine. But the Torah says here, why were the reasons of Torah not revealed in the psukim that they are stated in? It would make our lives so much easier, wouldn't it? Because there are two psukim in the Torah where the reasons are given for those particular mitzvot. And one of the greatest people in the world made the biggest mistake because of those two reasons. It says in Parshat Shoftim, when it says the rules of a king, Lo Yarbelo Nashim. It says by a king, as you know, a king has many limitations. Okay, he's not allowed to have certain things. It's sorry to say for Torah. There's so many things a king has. One of the mitzvah that he has is Lo Yarbelo Nashim. A king cannot have many wives. Amar Shlomo. Okay, and then it gives the reason. Don't have many kings. You can look there. Okay, so they stay on the right path and they don't they won't go off the straight path. Shlomo said, and Shlomo said, he saw these psukim, he learned them inside. He said, oh, that's why a king can't have so many wives, for that reason. Well, I'm on a very high level, not necessarily in a guy way. Like, I really feel like I'm on the level that I can do that and I can kind of bypass the reason. I won't stray. Tiv, it says in Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, the Perek that I'm talking about now, where Shlomo makes mistakes. His wives caused him to go astray. So in fact, the reason that he thought that he could circumvent, he did not. Ktiv, it says another mitzvah, we said there were two. Lo yarbelo susim. don't have too many horses. And you don't want to know why? Why can't you have too many horses? Don't return to Mitzrayim. Very good. You cannot turn some time. Mitzrayim was like the wholesale producer of horses, apparently, at that time. And so, therefore, when kings wanted to get a lot of horses, they would go to Mitzrayim. And so the principle was, we don't want you returning to Mitzrayim. So the Pasuk says, Lo yarbe lo susim, amar Shlomo, ani yarbe v'lo ashiv. I'll collect horses, but I won't go back. I won't go back to Mitzrayim. Miktiv, atetzei merkavam Mitzrayim v'sheish. When it talks about Shlomo's wealth that he amassed in all these different realms, it says that the horses that he got from Mitzrayim. So I think this was a very significant source to me, because it shows that how the gift that Shlomo was given of Chachma was the source of his downfall. And how we have to be so aware of that. We have to be so aware that it's such a gift that we have. Such a gift that we can use our intellectual strength. And that's so challenging, because we're told, like, I just spent the first half of my shiur telling you, no, work on Chachma. Like, be sensitive to it. And, like, be sensitive to when you're in the base medrash and you're learning. Like, learn from everything that you learn. And learn from everyone, even, like, crazy people outside. Like, learn from them. Like, it's just... But be aware. Like, when you're learning things, the more you amass, like, the more dangers you have to figure out of, like, how that fits in, of how that places itself, and how your intellect in and of itself can be a challenge. And so that doesn't mean that you should just chuck it all out the window. It just means that life is complicated and, like, hard, and so you have to keep that in check. And so I feel like to end with this would be the most appropriate, that Shlomo HaMelech, who is the paradigm of Chachma, not only did he have the intellectual Chachma that we all continuously strive to achieve, of like attaining this intense Chachma by studying more and using our five senses, as the Barbanel said, but like he had this divine Chachma that none of us could even possibly attain. And yet at the end of his life, in the last sefer that we have of his in Tanakh and Kohelet, in the very last pasuk, this is a pasuk I'm sure you've all heard before, we ask ourselves, how did Shlomo, he like, it's the very thing that he was so good at was his biggest, caused his biggest downfall. And so at the end of the day, when it says in Kohelet, Shlomo's final message to us is, Sof tavar akol nishma, et halokim yira, bet mitzvosav tishmor kizet kol ha'adam. That ultimately, Chachma is a means to an end. That Chachma is something that we strive for the sake of becoming a better Eved Hashem. And the thing that will guide you, and the thing that will keep you in check, is the constant striving to have Yirat Shamayim. The constant striving to make yourself better, that in your pursuit of knowledge, it's a pursuit to become closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And with that, if we keep that in mind, and that is our ultimate goal, keeping that in check, learning from other people, recognizing the challenge of that, but like genuinely sensitizing ourselves to learn from the people around us, to appreciate who we are as people and where we're going, who we are, what our challenges are, and using Yirat Shamayim as like as something that will constantly guide us, hopefully these messages should enable us to continue to grow tremendously in our year in Israel and beyond. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.